Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carry Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in on a Monday night following the Jaguars' thrilling 31-28 victory over the Indianapolis Colts on the strength of Josh Scobie's 59-yard game-winning, season-changing, city-rejuvenating field goal. Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, is here, of course. Vic, different kind of Monday than we had a week ago.
Yes. Tell them why, Don Pardo.
Well, for starters, the Jaguars won and beat the Colts, and so that changes the whole environment of things, the atmosphere, the attitude a lot of times. We also have with us today a guy. Let me tell you a quick story. As I was leaving the tailgate show, walking out from the Gate 1 area, walking back down to the studio to get ready for a pregame show and getting ready just before the game, I happened upon a rather dapper gentleman with the suit and the tie on, and I said hello to Terry McDonough, and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "Good. What do you think?" And he says, "I got a feeling." Somebody else had told me that earlier outside. I didn't have the feeling. I said, "All right, well, why? What? Where did this feeling come from?" I've got a feeling. And lo and behold, the feeling was right, and Terry joins us here, his second tour of duty with Jaguars Monday this year. All right, so can you explain your feeling now?
You know, usually I probably say that every week, and half the time I'm right and half the time I'm wrong. But, you know, it's no secret we've always matched up well against the Colts. And I knew we would come out running the ball yesterday. And I just felt when we run the ball, I feel good about our chances.
And that was definitely the big part of the game plan yesterday. We saw Maurice go over 100 for the first time. And that physical approach against the Colts was something that that has worked a lot and this time resulted in a win. All right, let me ask you the question before Vic tears into you. As Scobie lined up for the 59-yarder, what did you think?
I thought he was going to make it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I turned to Gene and I said, "He's going to make this." And Gene didn't say anything, and then he kicked it. And right away, I always try to look at Podlish and Scobie because they're the first ones that know.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any reaction. Usually right away they get up and slap each other's hands, but they sat there and watched it. But it looked long enough. It was just a matter of whether it was straight enough. And Jackson DeVille, how appropriate was that? Caught it and ran back onto the field with it.
No offense, Terry, but where's Smith?
He is working. He said, "Terry, it's easy when we win. Mm-hmm. The tough one is when you lose to come on the show. But you informed me it wasn't going to be easy tonight, so I just got a little nervous."
So that's why he told you he's not here tonight, huh? He's working.
He's working. He that's what he usually does is work.
Well, I think I know why he's not here.
Would you like to?
Oh, I put a horse whipping on him last week. That chair's got a seatbelt now.
Well, I don't know how long the show goes for, but I think I'll be on the road for the next couple of months. So there's a lot of Mondays coming up, so I'm sure he'll have his chance to. It's a lot easier when you win, though.
It really is. And, the attitude, the environment. I mean, last week, I can just tell you and Vic and I both encounter a lot of folks, you know, in the week following games. Well, it was a down attitude around town about things. Mm-hmm. I mean, back-to-back 25-point losses, it had never happened before. Not just that they were losses, but it turns around in a hurry when it goes well for you, and that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah, it was a down attitude around town. It was a down attitude in here. I mean, you lose. You can't sugarcoat two 25-point losses in a row. You know, with the team teal stuff in the offseason and the type of character we have on this team, there was so much excitement from all of us coming into this season. And to lose a couple games like that, of course it's going to be a downer. But I'll tell you what, yesterday I wasn't here, Vic, you know, early on with the AFC Championship in those years. But as long as I've been in Jacksonville, yesterday was the most excited I've seen this place, the loudest I've ever heard it. And just walking out afterwards, all the fans outside lined up. It was, and today, feeling it around town. Anywhere you go, they're talking about the game. Yep. So it's an exciting time this week. It's a week-to-week business. I've heard you say that a bunch of times.
It's a top, five home game. I think it's number one. Someone asked me for tomorrow's column to give them my top five Jaguars home games. This would be one, the game against the Falcons.
Morton Anderson's miss.
Yeah, in 96 would be one.
Steelers Monday night, 97.
97. I thought the Steelers 2004, which I
that was the
the one where Scobie missed that same field goal. Wasn't it a 60-yarder he attempted?
Yeah, that's when.
Just barely missed it.
That game was Ben was scrambling, and he put the hand on the ball on the ground and kept himself up. It was a big scramble in that game, and they went on, and he scored. And that was a key play in that game. That was a Monday night game.
Yep.
Sunday night game. So, I mean, there's four or five right there that come off the top of my head. I want to talk about some things from the other team's perspective to give the fans an idea. Some of these things haven't been said yet, although I wrote one of them. I got to tell you, if I'm a reporter covering the Colts, Jim Caldwell is feeling my wrath today for a couple things. First of all, he called timeouts at the end of each half, meaning one at the end of the game that now is infamous, that just screams of arrogance, I've done the math. First of all, Jack just said he wasn't running out the clock. And we know that to be a fact. We know that to be the truth, because if he was running out the clock, he wouldn't have called timeout following the review.
On the third down play,
he wouldn't have called timeout. He would have let the clock run. I mean, what the heck? And didn't Underwood come out of the end zone with the ball on the kickoff?
Yes, he did from
He would not have allowed his kickoff man to come out of the end zone with a kickoff return had they been running out the clock. So this notion that the Jaguars were running out the clock is completely false.
Other than the fact that you look at it just, let me give you the counter argument. From the other sideline, if you see a handoff rather than a pass, you might infer.
Nicole, if you were running out the clock, you wouldn't run a trap play. Well, you know, you wouldn't run a.
If you were the Colts.
No,
right?
you wouldn't run a trap play. You would run a dive and just get the ball on the ground and run out the clock. You wouldn't bother pulling a guard out and a center and all that stuff, which is what that was. It was a trap play. No, the ProFootballTalk.com again is incorrect. They are the purveyors of misinformation, and they did it again. They were not running out the clock. Now, I've done the math. So, I mean, from that standpoint right there, Jim Caldwell was unbelievably arrogant or incredibly incompetent to call a timeout knowing that he had to know they weren't running out the clock. All the signs were there, all right? Now, here's the biggest one. Before we go to a break, here's the biggest one, and this is the one I would really be whipping Caldwell about if I was covering the Colts. They blew it on their coin toss option to start the second half. The wind was from the north. It wasn't going to change. Maybe it was going to slow down. Maybe it wasn't going to be as brisk. But you've got to have your back to the wind, the wind at your back in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. All right? He's got to defend the south goal to start the third quarter. If that kick was being made to the north, that game goes into overtime. Scobie would not have made that kick into the north.
It was at least a 3-yard wind then.
Yes,
from that distance.
The wind at kickoff of the game was 10 to 15 mile per hour from the north. It died down as the game went on, but there was still wind left at the end of the game, and we know what kickers do when they kick into the wind. They try to hit it a little harder, they hook it, you know, that kind of stuff. So in my opinion, if Scobie had been kicking the other way, the game would have gone into overtime, and all Caldwell had to do was make the right coin toss option as far as defending the South goal to start the third quarter. He blew it on both counts. He cost him that game.
Maybe he should have been playing Madden a little more often, huh?
Maybe.
Learn the coin toss tricks. All right, we'll take time out. Comments from Terry McDonough when we come back. You can get your question or comment. Go to Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and you can see an already growing long link of comments by fans, and the best ones will get on the air. Jaguars Flex Packs are now available. Select any three of the remaining home games to build your own three-game mini-season ticket. Flex Pack seats start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your own Flex Pack today. Back with more Jaguars Monday. Presented by Sutton with Terry McDonough in for Gene Smith this week, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Here we go. For the win. 5 seconds to play. 28-28 from 59 yards out. A franchise best, a personal best. The snap replacement to kick up on the way. Scobie's got plenty of distance. And he got it from 59 yards away for the win. Oh, boy! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
And he got the victory.
The longest field goal in franchise history. And the Jaguars have just beat the Indianapolis Colts and saved their season.
Well, there was the play. One of the most memorable plays in Jaguars history. And I don't want to get too carried away because we're 24 hours away from it happening, but I think that's going to be one that folks, Vic, will remember for a long, long time.
I think it was the most exciting game that I've covered in this building. Mm-hmm. I really do. I really do. I wouldn't say that because I'm not one of these latest, greatest mm-hmm. guys. That's just not me.
I'm just the opposite, in fact.
I'm just the opposite. Yep. And I really do think it's the best football game I've covered in this building. As I said, the 2004 game against the Steelers, which was, you know, could have ended with a Scobie field goal from 60. Mm-hmm. That's how close that one was. And in the same direction, I may add. I believe.
That was a little short right, right?
Just a little right. It was just a few. Oh, he hit that one longer. Okay. It had lots short, yeah. and lots. This one, the one he hit yesterday would have been good from 60, not much more. It was dying at the bar.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Only 60? Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know what
I'm trying
to say. Is that
all you got?
I mean, he might as well have been kicking to the river, I think I wrote. But the one against Morton Anderson, the Morton Anderson miss game, that was a really good game, too. That wasn't just Ironhead Hayward played mm-hmm. in that game yep. and Jesse Tuggle. And I mean, that was a really good game. It wasn't just about a missed kick. The 97 game, Chris Hudson running down the sideline.
Cower
feigning
the
sideline punch, yep. which people actually unbelievably believe that he was going to hit him. It's just, you know, amazing what people think. But it was cute.
Yeah, I mean, it was theater.
It was theater. It was great theater, yeah. So, I mean, there's four that come off the top of my head. I think about the Saints game where they did all the laterals on the kickoff.
Oh, yeah,
that was kind of
right.
cool, you know. But
Miami game. Yeah, of course. Then you have the Vic doesn't like the Miami playoff
what?
Game. It was too much
come
of a,
on 62-7.
Too much of a kicking
football game.
Hey, Vic, you know what?
It's crap.
The fans liked it.
Come on,
the fans liked it, Vic. The fans loved it.
62-7.
The fans loved it. I'm telling you, this is. That was a celebration because they thought it was the next step on the road. I mean, we know what happened the following week.
You know what I remember about that game? One thing and one thing only.
Sprinklers.
That's it. Sprinklers came on.
Sprinklers came on at one point. I remember a lot more about that game, but that's
Dan Marino's last game.
Right? Dan Marino's last game. Fred Taylor had a 90-yard run that was just mesmerizing. At one point, it was so lopsided that the Jaguars, Bryce Pop, I think, scored a touch. It was mm-hmm. Pop or Brackens recovered a fumble and scored a touch. It was
yeah. What
it was
happened
a route.
The next week?
It was a route that week. Yeah, and we know what happened the following week. Injury update right now, brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. As if this was not a good week for the Jaguars, everybody seemed to come out of this one pretty healthy. This is a fairly healthy bunch at this point through four games. We're at the quarter post at this point. There have been a few guys here and there, of course, but Terry, you feel pretty good about the health level at this point?
Yeah, I do. Last few games, there hasn't been anything major. We had some guys go down early in the season, preseason, but overall, right now, knock on wood, it's been a healthy group.
All right. Well, shall we get some comments here from some of the listeners here? Want to chime in via Facebook. Does this win qualify the Jaguars to be a playoff contending team this year? Asked Joey.
What I think, how can I answer this like you answered?
Are you a playoff contender?
You know what this win means? This win means we beat the Colts and we can enjoy it for this week. That's what this win means. I think whenever you go out on the limb 4 games into the season, you break it down into quarters, we're done with the first quarter. I mean, it'd be ludicrous for me to say one way or another whether we're a playoff team. Now, you ask me in 13 weeks, I'll be able to tell you.
Well,
whether you have a feeling or not, right, by that time.
Well, he wants to know if you consider yourself to be a playoff contender. I think that's a fair question.
Well, okay, I'll answer it this way. I think every team in our division is a playoff contender.
I would agree with that. Now, let me tell you something that the Colts are up against here, and I think people know they're 0-2 in the division. And right away, you know what that tells me? They're not going to win the division title. You are at a serious, serious tiebreaker disadvantage a quarter of the way into the season. Now, here's the real problem. You look around the AFC, there are two teams in the, as of tomorrow morning, there will be two teams in the AFC East with 3-1 records. There are two teams in the AFC North with 3-1 records. There are six other teams aside from the Colts that have 2-2 records, and almost all of them, if not all of them, have better tiebreakers than the Colts do already, because the Colts already have two losses in the conference. So, I mean, a quarter of the way in the season, this is against the grain for them. They usually, as Jack just said, put everybody in chase mode. They're the ones now that are in chase mode. They're behind everybody.
Well, and the bigger question is, what does this mean for not just this season, but are we seeing – I think you kind of think this might be the beginning of the end of things.
I'm seeing something in the Colts now that, if I was a Colts fan, would discourage me. And it's this: it's not just age of body. You are getting some age there with Guy. Manning's starting to get old, and Saturday's getting up in years, and Wayne is, I don't know if Wayne's the same guy, and you haven't really replaced Marvin Harrison, in my opinion. You know, those guys are good, but they're good because Manning's good. What would bother me about the Colts is they're getting old of style. There's no freshness to them. It's the same team. It's the same style of play over and over and over. In the red zone, it's trap and trap pass, trap pass, over and over and over. Yeah, they make it work. But on defense, it's the same thing. That team is built to play with the lead and then play soft zone defense in the back and rush the passer. But I'm not sure that they're going to have the lead many of their games, because their defense is horrible.
You buy any of this?
No. How many division championships have they won in a row? I'm sure you have that in front of you.
Oh, well, they 2 years ago, when the Titans won, okay. 2 or 3 years ago, but they've won all but one of the AFC South since the AFC South came into existence.
But those are years past, Jerry.
But that's a lot in a row other than the one. And they have arguably the best quarterback of all time who's playing as good as anyone in the league right now. And Reggie Wayne yesterday had a big day. As long as they
set a Colts record,
as long as they have Dallas, obviously Peyton, it starts with Peyton. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning, Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, the two defensive ends. They can rattle off 8, 10, 12 wins in a row. They've done it mm-hmm. numerous times. Okay. So I cannot sit here, being naive of me to sit here and say, oh, yeah. No, it's what it is. It's 4 weeks into the season.
I think you need to focus on those other two guys. I think Houston has passed him, and I think Tennessee, with that running back, can pass him too.
What I will say is this, Cole and Vic and Joe, is that this is a great week for the Jaguars to go up to Buffalo, play good football, and then if we can win up there, to come home here on a Monday night game with a chance to go to. I know it's the coaches will tell you, and they should. It's a week-by-week business, but the excitement level is building. Yep. I'd love to see it continue into Buffalo, and then we can come back here and have a couple weeks in a row of talking about this football team. Then the whole country will be watching us with a chance to go 4-2. I mean, that's putting it a little bit out there, but I'm excited for a chance to have back-to-back efforts. Go up to Buffalo, play good football, and then come home and have excitement here building up into the Monday night game.
And I've got some numbers about the Bills. Again, stats don't always tell the story. I'm going to put it in context, but some interesting numbers about the Bills when we come back. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealer. And season ticket holders, when you use your Jaguars Rewards card, when you purchase at least $10 of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, Go to Jaguars.com. We're back with more Jaguars Monday, presented by Sutteth with Terry McDonough in for Gene Smith here on a Monday after the Jaguars' thrilling victory over the Colts. Back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
David in the shotgun. Sets through left, then brings him right. Four receivers. Colts to the line of scrimmage. David takes the snap. Pressure coming. He turns and he throws. He's got Maurice, who goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Maurice is second. David second. And the Jaguars reclaim the lead.
Highlights from yesterday's 31-28 Jaguars victory. That was the touchdown that gave the Jaguars a 28-21 lead late in the fourth quarter. 2:09 to play in that one. And the Maurice Jones-Drew touchdown after he had a run earlier in the ballgame.
I got to remember in this show to plug the TV show, Joe. Tell the people, the All Access show, Jeff and Brian.
Did Vic just say, I've got to remember to do this? Joe, do it. I think that's just how happened.
Sorry, Victor, aren't you on this show?
What?
You're on the show.
Yeah, I'd say I have a cameo role.
What is your role? What do you do?
I do a think piece.
All right. And what time in the show does it?
Never seen it. I don't know. I'm on this show.
7:00.
All right.
Tonight. Okay. You know what station?
No, I don't.
Oh, Victor.
No, I'm.
He's a big radio star. He doesn't.
I'm in the car. My car doesn't have a TV.
Get with the time.
Just tell the people what station to go to. What channel is it?
Coley, go ahead.
I don't know. It's CBS 47. I'm guessing. Yeah.
Oh, Victor.
Jeff and Brian do this TV show.
This is what I love about Vic's preparation for the show.
How do you accept the check?
Check?
Are we supposed to get paid for this?
Remember, am I supposed to get a check? Remind me to do it. All right. Watch TV. You can see Vic and shield your children's eyes. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details.
How'd you know that? That shield. How'd you know that?
Because I've been on TV before, and I've instructed the children to do the same thing.
No. The shield is an operative word for tonight's skit.
Oh, I don't know. That was purely coincidental.
I'll let it go with that.
Or perhaps I have
just watch the show, folks. You'll love it.
An inside feel for, All right.
You've been hanging around Terry too long. You got that clairvoyant thing going.
I had a feeling. And I have to give Marco Coleman credit. Marco, before the game, gave his prediction. He said, Jaguars win by 3 on a Scobie field goal.
He was right.
Wow, that's really good.
That was a little more detailed than I have a feeling.
I want some
credit, too, because I said that they had to score 30 to win.
And you said they'd have to rush for 200 yards to win.
I want credit, too, because I said after the game when I go home I was going to have pizza, and I did.
Nailed it. Joe, you guys are all better than me. All right, you mentioned, Terry, running the football is a key for the Jaguars win. I mean, that's the personality of the offense. That's where the offensive line is a good run-blocking group. You've got Maurice Drew as one of the studs. Buffalo is ranked 32nd against the run coming into this week.
So they have that going for them.
Which is nice.
Yeah, but if you look at the last few times we've played Buffalo, they've been close football games. Mm-hmm. Up there, here, I remember Wolford's catch. And
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, our new quarterback's best game was probably against us. Was that opening day?
That was early in the season. Yes, it was opening. I think it was opening day.
15 for 21.
No, you're talking about Edwards?
Yeah.
It was game two, week two.
No. It was Leftwich to Wilford for the touchdown.
No, they were both. I was talking about back to back. The point I'm trying to make is when we play Buffalo, other than I remember Bledsoe came here a bunch of years ago and put it on us pretty good early.
It was 0-3.
They're close games. Mm-hmm. And this will probably be a close game, too. But no, when you look at our personnel of our football team, we have one of the best blocking fullbacks and one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, plus our offensive line. I'm very high on them. They played really well yesterday. I mean, we go back and watch the tape. So, and we obviously Maurice, and we got good running backs. And Deji Kareem might be back this week. So,
yeah, got a new contraption, I guess.
We have good running backs, good blocking tight end, good blocking fullback, and good offensive line that likes to run block.
And I will caution myself and everybody else not put too much into stats this early in the season. We start looking at league rankings. I will point out that there is a team in the National Football League. Do you know this, Terry? One team is ranked number one in both offense and defense as of right now.
I'd guess the Baltimore Ravens.
The San Diego Chargers, who are 2-2. So the Jaguars have the same record as a team ranked number one in both offense and defense. So again,
I have no idea where we're ranked, but I know, it's a quarter through the season. We're 2-2. There's a lot of football left, and a lot more excited this week than I was last week.
Baltimore second in defense, 22nd overall in offense, incidentally.
I have nothing to add.
All right, good. Let's get some questions and comments from some of the fans on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Let's go with this is kind of a little bit of stepping out here. Alfonso asks, what's the stance on the possibility of trading up higher in the first round to grab someone who might be rated that high on the board if it's a position like quarterback? In other words, if a quarterback's there, are you more likely to go up than if it's another position?
You want my personal view, Alfonso? Mm-hmm, what's my personal view on that? My personal view is if you have a lot of confidence in your ability to draft, and we do here, that you want to acquire as many draft choices as you can, because history has shown throughout the years, and Vic can attest to this, that there are a lot of good football players in the mid rounds. So I want to try to get, my personal view is to get as many picks as you can. A lot of teams have been good at that over the year, Philly, Baltimore, New England. So if you get 10, 12, 14 picks, your odds are going up if you feel like that's what you want to do to build your team. Now, he said the quarterback. I think that's different than every other position. Mm-hmm. My personal view is there's a chance to get a franchise quarterback, and you believe it's a franchise quarterback, that you do whatever you can to get that player. So other than a quarterback, my personal belief is to acquire as many draft choices as you can.
I'm still emotionally scarred by those two trade-ups in 08. I don't want to go back through what they didn't draft. But, oh, what the heck, let's do it. Joe Flacco. Chad Henne. They're starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. One's playing tonight. The other one is 3-1. The other one could be 3-1 tomorrow morning. You know, so you guys traded up for two pass rushers. One's gone, and the other one's close to gone.
I'll say again, it's my belief, and it's always been my belief, if you feel like you're a good drafter, to acquire as many draft choices as you can, and if I was ever going to personally trade up, it would be to get a quarterback.
All you had to do was pick them. They were there.
That's my personal belief.
We'll see what happens, of course, in April. All right, here's one from Mike. In regards to Mike Sims-Walker, our defense is rolling coverage to him. Is he getting jammed to the line? Hope he can break loose soon so we can see everything his offense is capable of.
No, you know, big believer in Mike Walker. Good draft choice for us. He's a good football player. He's going to make a lot of plays for us before the end of the year. The good news is, Vic, I remember a couple years ago in the draft, Taquan Underwood, you were very high on him, and you talked about him for a couple of years, waiting for him to emerge, and it was so good to see him emerge the other day.
Well, he had some big plays, not just that 22-yarder, but coming back and kind of playing defensive back on the near interception, the heart attack play, I call it, from just the last pass was nearly an interception that would have changed this month.
The devastation.
Well, and then if David Jones, who made some nice plays in the game for us and has been a good pickup for us, we're not talking about that, but they did have three timeouts when David almost made that pick.
If Kelvin Hayden catches that ball and goes down, and he would have gone down the sideline untouched, I mean, this franchise is the laughing stock of the league.
Well, that's what makes this game so beautiful is it's so many ifs.
Oh, boy.
If this, if that. I remember the playoff run we had a couple of years ago. If the Atlanta kicker makes those kicks, I think we're 0-2 at the time. I think it was the second game of the season here, and he shanked a few, we win, and then we went on a run and had a magical season. So that's what makes the NFL so beautiful is that, you know, if certain things happen. But the year we won the Super Bowl in Baltimore in 2000, every single bounce went our way that year, and we ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
I was asked today, someone said, come on, Vic, this win yesterday, you called it the biggest coaching win in Jack Del Rio's coaching career. Mm-hmm. Come on, you know that the 2007 playoff win in Pittsburgh was bigger. No. And I'll tell you why that one wasn't bigger. That win in Pittsburgh was like the worst thing that could happen because it reinforced this notion that they were one player away. And frankly, it cost this team five draft picks they traded away for these two guys that were going to be the one guy that they were away from going to the Super Bowl? It collapsed the house of cards. The win yesterday reinforces, in my opinion, reinforces the notion that this team is on the rise, and it's going to create a greater degree of patience among the fan base, and it's going to foster more greater commitment to this program that GM Gene and Terry are on right now, and that's why and that's good because it's working. And that's why yesterday's win is so big.
All right, Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House official sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not only did Josh Scobie give the Jaguars their second win of the season, he also gave everybody who had a ticket stub from yesterday's game a free barbecue sandwich. At the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue, get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday. After a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants.
Now I know what those homeless people were looking for in the trash baskets outside. when I went to my car late last night.
That's all you need. All right, we'll take time out. Back with our final segment of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sonny's, with Terry McDonough in with us this week. Back after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio.
Second and nine at the 25 of Colts. Jones drew back there with Jones in the offset on tight end. His left receiver is quick. And David runs to his right, looking on a little option at the 20-yard line. Misses at the 15. David's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's going to score. David Garrard into the end zone from 25 yards away. And that's taking it on your own shoulders.
Garrard with a touchdown run there. And we remind you that at every home game, you can check out Teal Town 3 hours prior to every home game. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including a $2 draft beer special. Admission free with no game ticket required. Teal Town just south of Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field.
When do they empty the garbage?
Don't go through the Teal Town garbage because no ticket required over there. You won't get anything.
Do you think they got them all?
I don't know. I know I've got. As a season ticket holder, my wife goes to the games. You know, I've got my plans already for lunch. So if you want to jump on to here and make a contribution to things, you can at facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple of questions that have come in for Terry. Do you think this win was a morale booster to turn the season around and possibly contend for division title? We kind of touched on that earlier. I want to kind of take a tangent from that. And Vic doesn't believe the team, you know, the team closest, team chemistry affects anything.
He's going to beat on us until you kill it.
I am. You're the only person on the planet who doesn't believe in this, so I want to get somebody else's opinion. Does team chemistry matter on how a team performs?
Absolutely. I mean, when that ball went through the uprights yesterday, I looked and saw our bench when Scobie was running around the field. Those guys were going crazy. And this is the closest group since I've been here as far as character. You know, Aaron Campman and all the new players we brought in the offseason, you know, Kasim, everybody, Morrison, right down the list, Smiley. Those are all high-character guys, veteran guys that really bought into the team-first philosophy that Gene's establishing around here. And to me, it's huge because I've seen it work the other way when you haven't had great character guys, and we've all seen what happens then.
Oh, yeah.
Not only on the field but in the community, and that's not the way it's going to be around here.
Well, nothing could say, Cole. I mean, you know, holidays are going to be coming up soon. You can have the boys over for eggnog.
Just do your job.
I don't want to hear about the chemistry stuff. I just want players to do their job.
But
that's what works.
And I know what you're going to say. There's been all sorts of teams that have won the Super Bowl over the last 45 years. But I think when the guys like each other in the locker room, it's a lot better than when they don't. Now, you might bring up teams in the past.
Why do you say that? I want them to hate each other. But, I mean, just I don't need the lovey-dovey crap. Just do your job. Respect each other, which is part of being a professional. Support each other, which is part of being a professional. I'm getting this over and over. Fans want these guys. They want to believe that these guys, you know, vacation together. They don't.
No, but what I will say is you were talking about the playoff year a few years back, and then the next year a couple pieces away and all that stuff. And we brought some people in, paid a lot of money to in free agency. And you could see that following year when it fell apart, what the negative impacts of bringing the wrong people in your locker room does to a professional team.
Yeah, but you didn't have a chemistry. The problem in 08 wasn't a chemistry problem. It was a talent problem. Porter couldn't play. Cleo Lemon couldn't play. Drayton Florence couldn't play. $25 million were wasted on those guys. The draft was a bust. That draft class was a bust. You know, Spicer was getting old. Henderson was getting old. Stroud was gone. There was your problem. I mean, you had talent, you know, going away, and you weren't replacing it.
I agree with that.
Man, my take on this whole thing, by the way, is that the lack of cohesion in the locker room didn't cause the losses to come, but it did hinder an ability to stop the losses from piling up. I mean, we saw in 2007, the previous year, it was a very close-knit group. I mean, that was as close a group of guys as I've ever covered in 18 years of covering the NFL. And it flipped 180 degrees the next year.
The thing I like most about this team this year is it's a high-character group with veterans and young kids that are playing hard. And I like this team. I said in the past, we've had a couple playoff teams around here. I like this team as much as I like any team since I've been here.
It's easy to sell today. That was a very tough notion to sell the previous 2 weeks. When you win, everybody feels good. When you lose, everybody feels bad.
I can look you in the eye and say this. I like this team as much as I'm saying right now 2 and 3 weeks ago.
Good.
I like this football team. I like the people on this football team.
I like interviewing them. I will say that, that this is a better team to interview than the 08 bunch.
Oh, by far. By the way, Campman is
fantastic.
I mean, I know he's been very good on the field, but in the locker room, I was just telling some guys that I think he's one of the more intelligent guys who I've ever encountered in football, in terms of being a football player. I mean, a guy, he has a good perspective and obviously has experience to go with it. I don't know what you think about what he's done on the field. I think he's been very good on the field.
If we can have 53 Aaron Campmans, that's our goal. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, we're acquiring. The key to this is to get as many players in the NFL on your team that have talent that hate to lose. See, I was fortunate enough to be around Ray Lewis when we drafted him to Baltimore and Ed Reed. Okay, and when you get enough guys like Campman, Maurice Jones, Drew, the Ray Lewis's of the world, the Ed Reed, those kind of guys that hate to lose, you're going to win.
What happens if the Jets win this year? I mean, Darrell Revis had a very selfish holdout.
But Darrell Revis is a great football player
that
hates to lose.
Okay, well, if that's what you mean by chemistry, then I'm with you.
Yeah, if you get guys that, other than their family and their relationship with whoever their higher powers, if their love of football comes first and the team first philosophy and they hate to lose, you'll win a lot of games on Sunday. When you get a guys that are doing it for other reasons than that, then there'll be leaks and you won't win.
And that's what you think this team has the makings of.
We are bringing in the type of people around here that hate to lose.
Terry, it's great to have you in, as always. Had a feeling it would be a good show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Vic. Terry had a feeling.
Vic warned me it was going to be hard on me. It wasn't that hard.
It's a fun show. This is a fun show.
Thanks.
Thank
appreciate
you. Enjoy it. For Vic Ketchman, for Terry McDonough, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Tomorrow, the Jack Del Rio Show at 6. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. At 6 o'clock on Wednesday, as Vic comes back with Brian and Jeff. And then on Sunday, Jaguars and Bills in Buffalo. We get it started at 10 o'clock with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Kickoff at 1 o'clock as the Jaguars try to go to 3-2. Try to get it done on the road. Thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.